Welcome to another episode of Clean Air Reports Ghana. Coming up in this edition, we look at the high price women across the country pay for smoking fish. As air pollution in Ghana worsens, some MPs are on an ambitious charge to address the problem before it gets out of hand.
Whether it wins enough votes to pass or not, Sosu and his colleagues hope that the bill will get the conversation on air pollution going and rope in industry players, both local and international.
And with vehicle emissions identified as the leading cause of air pollution in Ghana, we find out how we can all help to reduce pollution from our modes of transport. I'm Winifred Latte, and this is Clean Air Reports Ghana, a collaboration between New Narratives and leading Ghanaian newsrooms. Hundreds of women along Ghana's coast risk blindness as they're exposed to pollutants from fish smoking. Health experts say the biggest threat of smoking fish comes from microscopic particles in the smoke, which can get into the eyes and cause burning and other eye diseases, leading to blindness. That's just one of the many health impacts faced by fishmongers in Ghana. Smoking increases their risk of respiratory illnesses, heart conditions, and infertility. Young children and fetuses exposed to the smoke are also at high risk. Raisa Sambu has been to Elmina to meet fish smokers suffering from air pollution. Welcome to the program, Raisa.
Thank you.
Now, Raisa, let's start by understanding the current state of air pollution in Elmina. Can you give us an overview of the situation?
Elmina is a fishing community in the central region of Ghana. In that community, the main means of livelihood of the women is fish smoking. They go and get the fresh fish from the seashore, from the fishermen, and then afterwards they spend hours in their huts engulfed in smoke.
Now, Raisa, can you share with us the personal narratives of some of the women in the fish smoking business and the health issues they face?
The smoke that emanates from the traditional ovens that these women use is the main source of air pollution in the community. And these women complain of various health conditions like respiratory illnesses, eye diseases, among others. This is the story of Esi Mansa, a woman who has been in the fish smoking business for more than a decade now.
Esi Mansa.
Here she's speaking in Fanti and she explains to me that she's been experiencing severe burning sensation in the eyes each day. She knows very well that it could have adverse effect on her sight if she doesn't stop exposing herself to smoke every day. But she tells me she doesn't have any other option because that is the only means of livelihood for her. If she stops smoking the fish, then her family will go hungry. So she has to endure to make ends meet.
Now, Raisa, what do health experts say these women can do to avoid the risk of blindness?
Health experts are worried because the cornea, according to them, is a very sensitive part of the eye, and frequent exposure to smoke can cause irreversible damage to it. And this explanation proves what I saw in Elmina, because I met some women who were blind in one eye, others too were completely blind. Despite these warnings, the women are reluctant to change their means of livelihood. The health experts are also advising the women to reduce the number of hours they spend smoking the fish if they cannot change their means of livelihood entirely.
Thank you, Raisa, for your reporting. That was Raisa Sambu of the Ghanaian Times. Alarmed by research findings that air pollution is responsible for the deaths of nearly 30,000 Ghanaians annually, A group of MPs have laid a private member's bill before Parliament. If passed, the bill will recognize the right to clean air as a fundamental human right in Ghana. MP for Madina, Francis Xavier Susu, is hopeful that the bill will be passed to compel government and its agencies to enforce air quality standards across all sectors of the economy. Michael Ashale filed this report for Joy News.
The Ghanaian government has signaled a commitment to tackling the country's carbon footprint with policies ensuring lower sulfur content in fuels and the promotion of renewable sources of energy like solar, wind, and hydroelectric power. However, reducing carbon emissions is different from reducing air pollution. Air pollutants are caused by the tiny particles that are in the gases, smoke and dust emitted by vehicles, industry and burning of waste, and they continue to grow.
I don't know whether we have some law backing the pollution or not. I don't know. Unless maybe you have to educate me.
That's Abraham Ni Udai, an assemblyman for Nkwantanan West, who is responsible for the local governance of a part of Madina. Madina is home to a bustling bus terminal and frequently experiences prolonged traffic congestion.
500,000 cars.
Data from air quality sensors dotted across the capital shows Madina has some of the most polluted air in the country. That comes as no surprise to Abraham.
Municipal assembly cannot do much.
The resulting smoke blankets the entire area, causing health risk for everyone here. Mohammed Issa is a resident.
So if you are disturbing me or you are doing something against and I talk to you, come and fight with you.
NDC Member of Parliament for Madina and human rights lawyer Francis Xavier Susu is one of a few legislators interested in the clean air space. He says it's time for the national government to get serious about addressing the problems.
Our environmental protection vision has not been very clear.
That's why Susu and two other MPs are sponsoring a private member's bill called the Climate Change Bill that he says is designed to make the government and the biggest polluters accountable.
They are rights holders and they are duty bearers. The state, under this circumstance, is a duty bearer and has an obligation to ensure that we have clean air.
Former Director of Air Quality at the Environmental Protection Agency, Emmanuel Apo, agrees the laws around air quality need to be harmonized.
Yes, we have a lot of laws, but key limitation now is that we don't have the air quality policy. Though the laws have been there, but we don't have the policy.
The push for a cleaner environment is happening in countries around the world. In 2022, nations at the United Nations General Assembly voted to declare access to clean, healthy and sustainable environment was a universal human right. In clause 6 of the draft bill, it says any individual, firm or government ministry, department or agency who or which willfully and without any justifiable reason, proof of which shall be on the individual, firm or MDA, violate the provisions of this act shall be liable on summary conviction to a fine. Clause 7 of the bill also allows ordinary Ghanaians to hold government accountable by bringing cases before the Commission on Human Rights and Administrative Justice. Pollution from vehicles is one of the biggest contributors to the air quality menace. The bill is targeting to cut Ghana's emissions and the private transport industry will be affected. Senior Industrial Relations Officer and Head of Communications for the Ghana Private Road Transport Union, GPRTU, Abbas Imoro, admits that air pollution is a major concern, so his members will not oppose it.
We'll support it, but in order not to cheat professional drivers, they should come up with the mechanism. If there is any component which can measure the volume of pollution which should not be allowed to be on the road, but you just can't mention pollution, maybe something in a small size, then you say no, it shouldn't be on the road.
Whether it wins enough votes to pass or not, Susu and his colleagues hope that the bill will get the conversation on air pollution going and rope in industry players, both local and international.
The United Nations estimates that Ghanaians produce about 9 million tons of plastic waste annually. With limited waste management capabilities, much of this waste is either burnt, contributing to air pollution, or ends up in the sea, where they severely affect or damage marine ecosystems. Albert Opong Ansa of the Ghana News Agency has been reporting on innovative schemes to reduce the impact of plastic waste. Now, Albert, please explain the link between plastic waste and air pollution.
According to experts, there is a direct link between plastic waste and air pollution. Their explanation is that when plastics are openly burnt, it releases chemicals that are harmful to human and environment. People around and beyond will breathe in these chemicals and have short, medium and long-term health effects. That is why even local regulations are against open burning.
Now, what are the innovative approaches in Ghana today to deal with the plastic menace?
Many people have developed innovations around plastic waste in Ghana, and the majority are in the private sector. Plastic waste is being used as a resource to produce slippers, tables, buttons, caps, chairs, bags, and building blocks. John Adeliga of the River Recycling tells me how they are turning plastic waste into boards that serve as substitute for plywood. Here is what he said when I interviewed him in the course of doing my story.
For the low value, so the nylon bags, the pure water sachets, we have another production for that. We call it plastic boards recycling. So with these, we're able to recycle those low values into a board that is comparable to plywood. So this can be used in the construction industry. It can be used in tables and chairs for furniture. And we've reached out to the education, the Ministry of Education for Labadi, the Lam municipality, and they've expressed their interest in having these in the schools. Since we have a collection that's manned run by Ambitious Africa that collect from the schools. So part of our agreement with them is that we will be giving them back boards in the form of chairs and tables for the schools, comparable to the plastics that we've been able to recover from those schools.
But how do these schemes specifically help address the issue of air pollution?
Before these innovations, plastic waste was spent in our localities. Even those collected from the drainage were often considered not useful. But with the approach by River Recycling, all those plastics are useful resource. Innovative businesses are helping to reduce the volumes being burnt. This does not mean that the burning has stopped. It is still ongoing. Plastic collected at the beach before, for instance, were burnt, but now they are being put to good use.
In your reporting, did you discover any means by which every Ghanaian can help reduce the impact of plastic waste?
Experts say everyone has a role to play in addressing the plastic waste problem. As individuals, we need to separate plastic waste from other sources of waste at home before handing it over to waste collectors. Our local assemblies must make sure that these wastes are properly disposed of at the right place. I saw how waste pickers were sifting through garbage to select waste plastics from the rest of the waste during my recent visit to a landfill site at Kpong.
Thank you, Albert, for your reporting. That was Albert Opong Ansa of the Ghana News Agency. Air pollution is a bigger problem in dense urban areas where bigger populations mean more industrial emissions, open burning of waste, and the use of traditional cooking fuels such as wood and charcoal. But emissions from vehicles is at the top of the list of air pollutants in Ghana. I've been speaking to the transportation policy analyst at the Accra Metropolitan Assembly, Alex Johnson.
Now, what are some of the major pollutants emitted by vehicles in Ghana and how do they impact air quality?
Normally, we refer to them as on-road transport. We have particulate matter 2.5, particulate matter 10, and then nitrogen oxide, and then volatile organic compounds. These are the typical structure or framework that you can try to assess on-road transport pollution, or that we have been able to do for Accra. So for a particulate matter, sometimes when vehicles are not very well maintained and their exhaust fumes, produce a lot of smoke. Some of them are so tiny you cannot see with your eyes. These compose about 11% of the type of emissions that come from vehicles. Out of that, you have the nitrogen oxide forming the highest, which is about 84%. And all of these are not very good for our health in general.
Now, what measures or regulations are currently in place to address vehicle emissions and reduce air pollution?
I would say that the primary responsibility of regulating the quality of air lies with the Environmental Protection Agency. But obviously, there are many activities looking at how air pollution issues affect communities. The sources are very different. You have from industrial sources, domestic sources like cooking fuels or fuels that can be used for cooking, charcoal, firewood, any type of fuel that burns. And then you also look at the issues of waste. So when you look across the spectrum of all human activities, you realize that there is one type of institution or the other responsible for something that is happening. So you can understand how tough or difficult it can be for the EPA to try to coordinate all our sectors in trying to organize and make sure that we are able to control air pollution. So the EPA Act itself has regulations, and they have also recently come out with an air quality management plan, which they have discussed with all stakeholders, including local administrations, including the Accra Metropolitan Assembly. I will also say that they have also gone beyond that to create standards for different types of potential emission sources. So these are the kinds of regulations that are currently available at the central level. When you come to the local government administrative areas, you realize that the assemblies also have bylaws. And these bylaws are a major source of regulatory control for air pollution issues.
What initiatives or programs has the transport sector undertaken to promote cleaner air and more sustainable transportation options in Ghana?
If you talk about the transport sector, it is very broad. From the national level all through to the local level. From the national level, again, the EPA plays a very central role in this. I know that there are provisions, procedural provisions for the DVLA, that's the Drivers and Vehicles Licensing Authority, to be able to obtain certain data at testing of vehicles before roadworthy certificates are issued. We don't have a comprehensive conclusion to the process as we speak. I think it is still in development and towards, let me say, enforcement on the ground. But that framework is there. The assemblies are supposed to work on all issues of permitting transportation activities by making sure that they can cite a roadworthy certificate from vehicle operators, especially in the commercial sector. So all the laws are quite, let me say, coordinated as we speak in principle. But there are so many things to be done to make sure that we practically implement them on the ground.
Are there any plans to promote the adoption of electric vehicles or other alternative fuel technologies in Ghana?
Yes. So currently, the Ministry of Transport, with its stakeholders, which includes the local administrations again, is currently validating an electric vehicle policy for Ghana. So this policy is supposed to outline all the requirements in terms of standard and operational environment issues that should be adhered to when we need to, let me say, follow a vigorous rolling out of electric vehicles for our space. Already, some major works have also been done. A general feasibility, report has been produced by the Ministry of Transport to look at all the value chain scenarios or conditions.
Now, lastly, what advice or suggestions do you have for individuals and communities to contribute to reducing air pollution caused by vehicles?
If it is a short distance, please just think again and try and walk. For those who have the capacity to acquire electric vehicles, even though we don't have widespread infrastructure to support long travels, short trips, yes, you can consider making short trips with an electric vehicle if you have one. But in the end, I will say that all vehicle owners have the responsibility to make sure that they maintain their vehicles as much as possible to reduce the potential emissions that they cause. And one or the most sustainable source of transport is walking. So as much as possible, if you can walk, that is a great way to help all of us to reduce air pollution.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson, for sharing your expertise and insights on this matter. Thank you so much.
That was Mr. Alex Johnson, the Transport Policy Analyst for the Accra Metropolitan Assembly. That's all for this episode on Clean Air Report Ghana. Thank you for joining us. The program is a collaboration between New Narratives and reporters from leading Ghanaian newsrooms across the country. Funding was provided by the Clean Air Fund. If you have a story suggestion or want to let us know what you think of the program, text us on WhatsApp number 053-417-7313. You can also follow our work at New Narratives on X platform and Facebook, and at our website www.newnarratives.org.